Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu Rob, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu Rob.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu Rob, and this is Activate Yourself. Thank you so much for joining me again. So as you all know, what I try and do is make this a space where you can meet people that are going to inspire you, that are going to give you answers, that are going to really sometimes their lives are the reasons they're giving the answers. Today's guest, you will be very proud of me, because what I did is I hijacked her. We were having a conversation and she started to talk about things that I thought, why doesn't everybody know about this? So I very clearly just hijacked the woman and I was like, please, please, please come on my show. I want you to talk about this because I think this is so incredibly important. So please allow me to introduce Dr. Asha Chaya.
Thank you so much for having me. Hi, it's lovely to be here.
You're so welcome. And what we're going to talk about is Asha's you're actually qualified as a dentist, and what you've done is you have a specialization in bioidentical hormones, right? Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm a really big fan of bioidentical hormones. I spend a lot of time talking about perimenopause and menopause all the time. And this is a conversation I think that we don't have enough. And I think it's really important for us to have these conversations more often, more regularly with more people. So when I went to see Asha, for me, that was when I hijacked her, just so we all know why the poor lady is here. Thinking, oh, what am I doing here? But let's just kind of start at the beginning. Why do we not hear about bioidentical hormones? Why do we only hear about HRT? And why are the airwaves full of HRT when bioidentical hormones are a choice? So firstly, can you explain that to me? And then I want you to explain to me what the heck bioidentical hormones are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the reason why you don't hear about bioidentical hormones as much as you do kind of the mainstream versions of HRT is that there's actually not a lot of providers in the UK who are offering bioidentical hormones. So that's one factor. There isn't enough awareness about it. So there's not many people who actually know about this, because it's not really talked about as much as the mainstream options either. So I would say awareness is improving, but we definitely want more people to know about this as another option to what already exists.
So are we saying that big pharma is just better funded than everyone else?
I would say so. You know, a lot of people know about it because it's kind of the standard routes. You know, you go to your GP and these are the options that you're given. So it, in that sense, there is more awareness about it, about those types of hormones. So the other thing is that obviously there's a lot more awareness about HRT in general, a lot more awareness about perimenopause, menopause. So the kind of main gurus who are pushing people to look at their options only usually talk about the what they call body identical or synthetic versions of HRT. Bioidenticals is not really something that they talk about or push, because it's
okay. So labeled. So hang on, just what do you said there? Did you say body identical?
Yeah. So just to kind of clarify, there's kind of three different options women have when it comes to HRT. So
right. If
you went to your GP, you're kind of usually faced with two different options. So one is the synthetic versions of HRT. So you might be on something, for example, it might be called Everell Conti, you know, or Everell Sequi. You know, that's what we call a synthetic version of HRT. So I think it'd be important at this stage to kind of explain what bioidentical is, so we can compare what it would be in terms of those options. So bioidentical means that the hormones are the exact same molecular structure as our own hormones. So when we use bioidentical hormones, we're replacing like for like, which means that the likelihood of getting side effects and issues are much less, I would say. Now, synthetic.
Yeah, I was going to say no. So I was just tracking what you said. So you said there are three options women have.
Yes.
So one is synthetic hormones.
Yes.
One is and so that you called it body identical, because I can see how this can get very friggin' confusing.
That's not body identical.
That's
just synthetic HRT. So synthetic HRT contains bioidentical estrogen, but synthetic progesterone known as a progestin.
Got it.
That's one option.
So there's synthetic hormones, which is the normal HRT you hear about. Then you've got bioidentical hormones, which are not synthetic. They're made to mimic. I mean, they're obviously created, so they're synthetic on some level, but they're made to mimic the hormones that you actually have in the body.
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
And then there's the third option, which is what people might know as body identical, which is what generally is pushed out there. So body identical is pretty much the same as bioidentical. So it is the same molecular structure as your own hormones. The only issue with body identical, which is widely available, is that the estrogen doses you can tailor, but the progesterone, it only comes in 100 milligram capsule. So if you don't get on well with that, then there's no other options, which is why bioidentical hormones, because it's a lot more tailored and we can adapt dosing, is a lot better tolerated by people.
Got it. That makes so much sense. I swear I never knew a single thing of this that you've just said. So hooray for that one. Okay, the next thing, let me just ask you a bunch of questions for a minute. The next thing is that, why are we not educated about this crap? This irritates me. That was not a real question, but I can understand. So who makes the HRTs made by Big Pharma?
Yes.
So I understand that that's mainstream. It's got funding, marketing. It's got massive influencers pushing it because I see every day, like we've got, Davina McCall and all these people kind of going on about that. So who makes the body identical ones?
So the body identical hormones are made.
I've never even heard of those.
Yeah. So the body identicals are actually also made by Big Pharma as well. So, so there's synthetic HRT, there's the body identical. So they're all generally made by, the big companies. The bioidentical hormones, so the compounded hormones, they're made by a specialist pharmacy. So the pharmacy that we have, so the Marion Gluck Clinic has their own pharmacy called the specialist pharmacy, and they're a compounding pharmacy. So what that means is that they're able to create specific, bespoke. Yes, exactly that. So, the pharmacy is regulated. So it's CQC registered, and also it's regulated by the General Pharmaceutical Council. So it is a regulated pharmacy.
So now when we talk about HRT, what the research I've done in HRT was that in theory, you're supposed to have it for about 10 years. And then after 10 years, there becomes an increased risk of breast cancer and endometrial cancer. Is that right?
That's not quite true. No, I mean, that was the kind of old thinking you have to come up HRT. It's been changed, and even, the NICE guidelines. So they're the kind of standards for care, across England in healthcare. They even now say that women don't have to come off HRT. They can be on it for essentially as long as they live, as long as they're being monitored. So it's not the case that, the longer you're on it, the more likely there is that you'll get risks of breast cancer.
There's a whole bunch of women breathing a massive friggin' sigh of relief at the moment, because it's like,
absolutely. Okay.
So, and the thing about when you're on HRT, and is it the same, the risks on HRT, as they are on body identical? Or is it just that the body identical isn't actually as personalized as bioidentical?
Well, it's a little bit of everything, I would say. So the studies that have been done have mostly been done on the synthetic preparations, for example.
Of course, and on a male mouse, no doubt.
Well, they have actually been done on women, so that's a good thing at least. But what we can notice from the kind of research that's been done and the trials that have been done is that though the trials that have been done on the synthetic versions of HRT, it does show that there is a slight increased risk of breast cancer. So to kind of put it simply, there is a slight increased risk in breast cancer. Now, the studies that have been done on body identical or bioidentical suggest that the risk is actually neutral. So the risk is, number one, less than on the synthetic preparations. Right. And also the risk is no more than what you would be if you weren't on HRT. So
why are we not all going on either body identical or bioidentical? Why is HRT?
That is the golden question.
Ah.
That is the golden question. Hopefully one day.
So are we basically just saying that, because the thing that really irritates me about all this is that women's bodies and women's health is not the primary objective here. It tends to be like I work in the weight loss industry, and it annoys me brainless that actually it's the weight loss industry and how the weight loss industry makes money that's more important than the women that it's trying to service. This to me feels a little like that. I don't want to come across as being anti-HRT or anti-anything, because that's really not my job. My job is, I want there to be understanding for everyone. Every woman that's listening should be given a frigging choice. Now, I am hearing you say that HRT is the most widely available probably, but it actually has a slightly more risk, not like the risks that it used to have, because there's more awareness and there's more testing and everything done. So if you're on HRT, there's no need to panic and run off into the sunset, as long as you're monitoring and being monitored, good, but that you have other options. And then body identical hormones is another option, and then bioidentical hormones is like the third option, which is the most personalized. Is that a good summation?
Yeah, and there's a couple of things to mention. So for example, on the synthetic preparations of HRT, so how I mentioned, the estrogen is bioidentical, the progesterone is synthetic. Now, there's one really valid point that women should be aware of in this, is that when you are given synthetic progesterone known as a progestin, it's protecting the lining of your womb, which is what's needed when you're taking estrogen, but it's not giving you the therapeutic benefits of bioidentical progesterone. So bioidentical progesterone, it's calming, it's soothing, helps with anxiety, irritability, mood swings, sleep. You're not getting that on the synthetic preparations.
Okay, so let me stop you for a moment while we go for a break, because I think I need to unpack that quietly in my brain.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, and we're back. So we're saying that, so what I should say, actually, before we go into this section of our conversation, that the reason we're having this conversation is because I went into perimenopause a while back, and then I went into menopause and I was kind of like, okay, done all that. But I got COVID earlier this year. I got COVID in at the end of January 2022. And I went whack, slap back into perimenopause in a way that but not so much that my body went into perimenopause. I'm in menopause, but I had all the symptoms of perimenopause and no idea what the hell to do about them, because I ended up with the brain fog. And I'm a public speaker, so this is really unhelpful, because I like to stand up and just speak. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to forget what I'm actually talking about, who I'm with and why I'm actually here, which is terrifying. And my levels of irritability went up. My sleep got affected. I put on weight, which I don't think I've done in I don't even know, like my body just kind of stays the same. And I went, apart from when I first went to perimenopause, I put on weight. All these things happened to me. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know what to do about myself, which is why I went down the journey of saying, okay, I have perimenopausal symptoms. How do I make my life better? And that's how I ended up hijacking you and putting you on my show, because I think that as women, we don't understand we can make things better. So firstly, I didn't know that there were therapeutic benefits of progesterone that I only get from the non-synthetic version. That means that if I'm on HRT, I'm not getting the benefits of the progesterone?
If you're on synthetic HRT, if you're on body identical, then you are getting the, you know, it has got bioidentical or, you know, body identical, the kind of the same thing. You are getting that progesterone, you're getting that benefit.
Okay, but you said that progestin doesn't give you therapeutic benefits, it just gives you the physical benefits.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so when can I start looking at HRT and at bioidentical, body identical? When should I start looking to you know, supplement my body with these things?
Well, I think it varies from, you know, each you know, woman to woman. But what I would say is that what I'm seeing in clinic is women probably 40 onwards, where they start to notice the very early signs. So the kind of signs that they see is things like they're not sleeping well, they're finding that they've got anxiety if they haven't had anxiety before, or if they're prone to anxiety, the anxiety is worse. They're more irritable, they have mood swings. So those
are just what I've just listed, actually.
Yeah, pretty much. But what's surprising is that everyone assumes that if it's perimenopause or menopause, then you start to get cycle changes too. But cycle changes don't always happen. Sometimes it's the emotional and mental factors that happen prior to the cycle changes. So that throws people off a little bit because they're like, why am I feeling different even though my cycles are regular? So that's kind of when people start to feel like something's not quite right. And that's the perfect time to go and speak to someone and say, I'm not feeling quite right. Could we have a chat about this? And am I going to benefit from having some hormonal support? So it has to be taken by case-by-case basis, I would say.
Okay, so what I'm hearing you say, which I honestly, again, didn't know, because I ended up doing this. I used bioidentical hormones a long time ago when I first went into perimenopause. And I actually did do this, but because I went in, I kind of lost my cycle stopped, my periods disappeared like overnight. And I was like, whoa, what happened? And I didn't know what it was. And my doctor had nothing to tell me. And that's how I came and I found the Dr. Marion Gluck Clinic, which was super helpful because the bioidentical hormones really just helped me. But what I want women to hear from what you've just said is that you don't have to suffer, that if you get to from 35, or if you had a hysterectomy at 25, for heaven's sake, or at 40 or at 41, if you feel like you're inhabiting a version of you that you've not seen before, there is relief available. You don't have to wait for your periods to go before you go on hormones, right?
That's exactly it. And it's exactly like what you said, is that women know that they're feeling different. They're not themselves. That's what I hear a lot of is, you know, I'm not feeling like myself. That's a really good kind of indicator as things might have shifted. But what I find frustrating is that when you do go down the kind of standard routes of, you know, going to your GP, etc., just because you're young or, you know, not yet perimenopausal or menopausal age, you're kind of dismissed. Even those who are perimenopausal or menopausal age, they're also dismissed. Like, oh, it's depression, here's some antidepressants, or, you know, actually you don't need HRT yet. And the other thing that's really worth mentioning at this point is that when you're in perimenopause, you know, there's two main hormones at play, estrogen and progesterone. It's progesterone that starts to decline before estrogen does. So if you are, for example, 45 years old and you're feeling the symptoms of perimenopause and you go to your healthcare provider and then they give you estrogen and progesterone because that's the standard preparations that they give you, you may not always need estrogen. You know, estrogen doesn't usually tend to drop until you're kind of well into perimenopause, almost menopausal, really. You know, I'm not saying that's the case for everyone, but in a lot of cases, that's the case. So if you're already producing your own estrogen and then we're giving you estrogen on top of that, that can actually make you feel worse. So yeah, that's where bioidentical hormones is actually much more useful for the perimenopausal phase, because we can have a look at your levels and we can see actually you just need a bit of progesterone support, which is not what you'll always get with the standard preparations.
Yeah, I noticed that, because what I started with was progesterone, and I actually had more, and then I ended up adding in the estrogen a bit further down the road, and then I went from there, and that actually was really good. Talk to me about the, so that's super helpful. So if I'm going to my healthcare provider, and my healthcare provider, like I remember going to my doctor going, I've missed two periods, and I remember him saying, you're either pregnant or perimenopausal, and threw me back out. I was like, really? What on earth are we, you know? And it was just so depressing. I wanted to kill someone and I had no idea what to do. So I'm like, am I pregnant? Am I not pregnant? And I wasn't pregnant. But I swear I had a phantom pregnancy going, because for a moment there, I didn't know what I was doing. But so I should, if I go to my healthcare provider and they're not paying attention, because 35% in the UK, 35% of women go to their doctors and are offered, instead of perimenopausal awareness, are offered antidepressants. 35%. Yes. That's, I think, a huge number, and it's friggin' outrageous and it irritates.
And they don't work when it's hormone based. They don't actually work. So, you know, someone might feel a little bit better temporarily, but if they are attending because of hormonal reasons, antidepressants don't work for it, because that's not the root cause.
That's not the problem. And then the other thing that happens with that is you then start going down that terrible journey of which antidepressant should I be on, and tweaking the antidepressants, and then going down. And you know, there is a place here, and I don't know how you feel about this, but I see for the women that I work with again and again, that there's a massive bias towards women imagining symptoms, as opposed to us being given the credibility of the fact that we have all these issues happening to us. And so we are made to feel like we're in the wrong instead of this is not the right answer.
Yeah, absolutely. It happens so much that it's actually, you know, it's difficult to hear. I see it, you know, a lot of the patients who come to our clinic, I hear that a lot, that I wasn't listened to, I was ignored, I was told that, you know, maybe it's because you're depressed, you know, they're really just, it's not good enough.
Why do you think that's the case?
I think that...
Is it the lack of awareness that we're now taking?
I think what's happened is that women, there's so much more awareness around HRT now. So that's fantastic, because a lot more women are seeking help. But where there is kind of a gap, I would say, is those women being educated themselves on what their options are. But not only that, but also the general healthcare providers, they are not always educated on what the options are available either. So in a way, they're not so much at fault. It's just it's kind of where they're at, I would say. So really, even in general, I would say the medical system also needs more education on how they should kind of deal with women when they're coming in, and how they should kind of help them, I would say.
I mean, you training get, on that. You get medical training, you know, like quite a lot of it actually. So do you get training on perimenopause when you're doing your medical training?
I didn't have training on perimenopause, because my training was actually in dentistry, but where I actually did my training afterwards, so kind of later in my career, so I don't work as a dentist anymore, but I've had training specifically on hormones and perimenopause and menopause.
Yeah, but that's because of what you now do. But do medical yes. professionals get perimenopause training? Because I remember this
barely,
the doctor telling
barely.
Me they got 4 hours of nutrition training.
I was gonna say barely, you know, a lot of my friends, they're medics, but I would say barely. And so it's something that needs to be addressed within the medical system, I would say, so that, you know, women, when they do go to their GP, their GP is aware of all of the different options as well, and what would be best suited for that person. But I would say the easiest thing to do is educate the women themselves on what their options are and what they want to put in their own
body. But bodies. You know, that's not the easiest thing, because then what happens is you've got to then educate the woman on how to have a fight and stand her ground in front of a medical professional who's telling her that she's wrong. And I tell you that this is something I see a lot, because you're almost having to train yourself into becoming a health warrior for your own self, because it's such a frigging difficult place to be.
I think, you know what, it's interesting you say that. I actually had one of my aesthetic patients, she came in and we were naturally discussing about HRT, et cetera. And I said to her, you know, go to your GP and, you know, this is what would suit you well. Like go to them and ask for it. And she was told, if you make demands of me, I will have you removed from the surgery.
Yeah, absolutely. Because it comes from the concept that doctor is God. And it can be a doctor who has not, because so many doctors are phenomenal. They go out, they educate themselves, they attend further training, they try really, really hard. They learn things, they buy in new information, and they're subscribing to journals, they're doing all that stuff. And then you've got the idiot who does none of that. And that's the person that says, I am doctor, I am God. And I think we really have to move away from that model of medical, not even just for us, but for the country. We can't afford the amount of money that's wasting for us, you know? Why do I have to pay to get a service that as a woman should be my complete right to
Absolutely.
Get? And it's my right to choose as well, right? It's awful.
Yeah,
not
okay. the thing.
We're going to go on a break and then we're going to come back and rant some more.
Sure.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. The thing about the next thing I want to talk to you about, which is a really big problem that I see with my clients, is weight gain. Like, so there's that thing that I'm always, so I've worked with 20,000 women over about 14 years in detoxes and weight loss and weight gain and everything. And the one thing that I see again and again, which really comes at this time, is what I call stress fat. It's the fat that sits around the stomach and the upper thighs, and you can be completely beautifully shaped from the back. It's almost like a pregnancy. And in the front, you look and there's this pot, and nothing gets rid of it. Number one. Number two, the minute you tell anyone you've got stress fat, no man believes you. No man believes you, because actually that's bullshit and it can't happen. This is not true, right? Stress fat is a thing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I would probably say it's hormone fat, to be fair, because what kind of goes on, so what I understand from it is that ancestrally, because you are dipping in estrogen levels and fat produces estrogen, then what your body will tend to do is to hold on to that kind of fat to try and help you to produce some estrogen. So that's what's happening, is that you're collecting fat around the waist and around the thighs. And it is.
Whoa, that's so interesting. Because why? Because there's estrogen in fat?
Yeah, because fat produces estrogen. So it's almost like a mechanism of your body trying to protect itself.
That's so friggin' interesting. So, because when I tell women that, you know, HRT or not, bioidentical hormones or balancing your hormones will help you. So what about the role of cortisol? Tell me the role of cortisol in this.
Cortisol, it definitely has an impact, because cortisol, as we know, can cause weight gain.
Yeah.
So there's definitely that. And what you will find, it's kind of a toxic mix of everything, I would say. Yeah. So at that age, at perimenopausal, menopausal age, is what we call the sandwich generation. You've got younger kids, you've got older parents, you're having a full-time job, you're doing so many things all at once. So yes, your cortisol levels are going to be high, but also your hormones are dropping. So it's kind of the kind of perfect toxic mix of weight gain, I would say, around those areas. But I would say that it's the time of life where you kind of have to reflect on how can you adapt different things to help support yourself to kind of help with that weight. Because out of 10 women I've seen, nine out of 10 will say, I've got this weight around my stomach, and I just, no matter what I do, I cannot shift it.
Yeah, because it can't be dieted away. Absolutely. And I, having literally worked in a detox and run one and owned one for 14 years, I'll tell you how it can't be dieted away. But one of the things that I see massive success with, and I'm hoping you give me a medical explanation of this, is that I see a huge success in women where we ritualize their food, where we say, okay, because women just don't eat very much, because some twat has been telling them their whole life that they should be on calorie deficit. And so they're like, I'll just starve myself. And then that doesn't work, because the minute you start to starve yourself, not only are we storing the fat because of the estrogen, which I did not know till today, but my version of this is your body is now in cortisol because it thinks you're in famine, and it's hanging on to your fat because the cortisol is going, no, we're going to need this fat to keep us going at some stage, right? So why would you say that it works when I literally will tell women, this is the simplest thing in the world, and just do it. I'll be like, eat fruit, because someone has told them fruit has sugar. And I'm like, a donut and an apple are not the same bloody thing. Eat fruit. Mm. I will tell them, eat more regularly during the day. I will tell them, put fat, put fiber, put protein in every meal. Regularize food. And you're having to retrain them in how to eat. But it is so effective. Why is it so effective?
It's all to do with balancing blood sugar. Balancing blood sugar is one of the key things you can do in menopause and perimenopause to help, number one, help your mood, and number two, to also help with the weight thing. Because if you're not balancing your blood sugar, then your cortisol levels are going to be spiking, and that is going to contribute to weight loss. But there's also other things that you've got to kind of consider here, is that if you are in that calorie deficit and you are kind of starving yourself and your body's kind of going into that famine mode of, I need to store all the fat, you're also, the same women are also doing HIIT exercises and extreme cardio exercises. And yeah, which is then even more depleting their adrenals, pumping out their cortisol. And that is the kind of, that's where women will not lose weight. It's actually the complete opposite of what they should be doing.
Yeah. And I mean, we do tell them this again and again. And I mean, when we're saying things like eat an apple, the fear that we've engendered in women that eating fruit is sugar, like women will just say, oh yeah, I don't eat anything with fruit. And I'm like, why don't you? Because fruit is one of those things that's insanely good for you because it helps your stomach. It helps, it's got enzymes in it. It's just an insane way to actually get your body functioning and working beautifully. And it's something that simple that we just think, no, I'm not going to do that. Fat is the next culprit. We can't eat fat because if we eat fat, we're going to get fat. And I'm just like, oh.
Well, the problem with that is that all your hormones, the building block of your hormones is cholesterol. So you need to have fat in your diet for good hormone metabolism, I would say.
Yeah, I like that. The building block of your hormones are cholesterol. Yeah, because the other way that I've always thought of it was that fat, like when I'm talking to my daughters, who are all trying to be skinny from the age of 14 onwards, because it gets younger and younger every minute. And I'm saying, if you don't have fat, what I have seen, this is a very broad statement, but what I have seen is that if you're not going to have fat, you're going to struggle to be fatter. Because if you're actually very skinny and you're not having enough fat, and I always explain it to them by saying your fat carries your hormones around your system. It provides a stable base for your hormones. It provides a home for your hormones. But I've never thought of explaining it as it creates your hormones. And so if you've got very, very low fat bodies, you're not functioning as a woman. You're not a guy, right?
Yeah. And if you're not intaking enough fats, that's a crucial thing. It's a really crucial thing.
And they don't, because women think fat loss comes from low fat. I think you will get trolled if you say eat higher fat.
I think the issue that I see nowadays is that there's so many different fads and there's so many different things.
Yeah, keto.
Why, for me, health is so simple. Like it is really simple. You know, sleep well, hydrate yourself well, minimize processed food and sugary foods, make sure that you're moving your body and exercising and not overdoing it, and just keep things in moderation. If you're generally doing that, you're generally a well person.
Okay, so yes and no. I'm going to disagree with you there, because I spend a lot of time, and this, the reason you're on here is because, you know, I'm the one that also needed to learn all this. That is not 100% accurate, because at my age, post-COVID, I first turned very skinny and then I put on weight. I didn't put on a shit ton of weight. I put enough weight that nothing fits me. So it's probably about 5 kilos. That's enough to really ruin your frigging life and need a new wardrobe. And I eat incredibly healthy because it's my job. I spend my life eating really, really, really well. And I was driven insane by the fact that none of that worked. I cut out my high cortisol exercise. I made sure I was eating really, I've always eaten really well. I'm not going to not eat well. And I changed the way I was doing. I did all these things and none of them worked. None of them worked. So I think that we should be slightly careful with saying that, because actually there's a part where this just isn't true. There comes a place where you just cannot make this shit work. And actually what you might need on top of that is therefore the bioidentical hormones, because you're going to need your body to function well in order for it to be able to do the things you want it to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, you know, when I say about health is simple, what I mean is that you have to just get intuitive with your own body. So if you're trying different things and they're not working for you, it's not the right thing for you. So for example, exercise wise, you might be like, okay, I've been doing HIIT and cardio, it's not working. Well, okay, let me try strength training then. Let me try something different for my body and see
which we should be doing
well.
As women anyway.
But it's not a blanket statement of every single woman should do strength training. You know, that's I never think that one woman should do the same thing as everybody else. You have to kind of find what works for you. But when it comes to the bioidentical hormone side of things, where, you know, I get women coming in and they say, okay, one of the main things that I would like you to help me with is weight loss. Now, the hormones themselves are not going to cause a weight loss. But no. What the hormones will do is that if you are tired, you're lacking energy, you're not sleeping well, you know, it will help to balance those things out. So if we can get your energy improved, if we can get your sleep improved, if we can get you feeling better mentally, you're going to reach for better foods. You're going to exercise more. You're going to be able to go for at least daily walks. You're going to be able to sleep well. So your body's not going to be craving those sugary foods. So it's about kind of balancing you out from that kind of aspect to help support your body.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree with that entirely. I just wanted to put it out there that there are places where women are trying everything and it isn't working. And I think that when you get to that place, understand that you just are going to have to look at your hormone profile and to make it work better. Because at that stage, that's what's not right, you know. And it took me a very long route to get there. And I'm like, allow me to help you to cut through all that crap and just think that, you know, this is how you can do
it. But at least you tried. The thing is, at least you're trying different things, because sometimes you get women who are trying the same thing, or they're told you should try keto, you should try this. But, you know, it's great that women are trying different things, but it doesn't mean that something won't work. It's just about finding what works for your own body.
Yeah, and absolutely. And I mean, it's this thing, like, I have, oh, some of this is so heartbreaking. I have a woman who is talking to me, and she wrote a food diary because they keep getting told they eat too much. And it's just not true, because they're eating nothing. They're literally starving. We're creating an entire generation of women who are starving to frigging death just to help the weight loss industry make more frigging money. And a woman had written a food diary for 1 year.
Oh my gosh.
And took it to her doctor, who must have been the same doctor as your other patients, complete moron. And he said, yeah, that's clearly not true. This, you just clearly aren't doing this right.
But the thing is that when it comes, the problem with general medical care, I'm not saying this is a blanket statement, but they only look at diet though. You know, look at the kind of lifestyle that these women are living. You know, some of these women that I see.
Imagine that your hormones might be a frigging issue.
Exactly that. And but also look at things like stress. You know, women are under a lot of stress nowadays compared to what they used to be.
So much more. The level of cortisol is so much higher.
So when you say stress, that, you know, that is an element of this, you know, that is a big element of this. So it's not necessarily what you're eating, it's also different aspects of your life that can kind of play a part. And I'll never say to someone, go on hormones and that will cure everything.
No, you have to target everything. The whole thing.
You have to look at stress, you have to look at diet, you have to look at exercise, you've got to look at your sleep, you've got to look at, you know, are you even socializing? You know, that's a big thing as well. You know, are you getting out there? Are you meeting your friends? And are you, you know, are you happy? So it's not just one thing that can improve your health.
Yeah, no, and I'm so grateful. Thank you so much for making the time to come on. And we'll have all the information for how to get hold of Dr. Asha underneath the episode. But I really am so grateful that you allowed me to come on and ask you questions that every woman has been asking, but we don't have somebody intelligent and friendly. You know, because I always see my job as being, let me just ask stupid questions because somebody else is afraid to. That kind of, I feel like that's my job. And I'm so grateful that you came on and you let me do that in a really nice, calm, efficient way, because I didn't have to feel stupid saying, I don't understand this, I don't understand this, I don't understand this. And I really applaud you as well, because as a medical professional, this is something that we just need more people like you. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's been a pleasure being on, and no woman should ever feel stupid for asking these questions, because they're very important questions.
Yeah. So ladies, hopefully that was as freaking amazing for you as I found it, because honestly, I think that the most important thing for us as women is, for anyone, but really I do women all day and twice on Sunday, so I only care really in these terms about women. The most important thing is that you feel comfortable in your body. The most important thing is that you feel love in your body, because I promise you that if you don't love your body, you will not be able to do the things that you need in order to love yourself, because it's such a huge, massive part of who we are. And yet there's been this cynical exercise in divesting how we look from how we feel. It's not true. It's not going to work. For you to love yourself is really going to be the ultimate way. And the way to do that is to feel in control of your body, to feel like you do know what's going on, and it has some friggin' aliens haven't taken over, which actually is how perimenopause feels. So I hope this has been helpful. Thank you so much for joining me. I will see you in the next episode. This is Activate Yourself. My name is Geeta Sidhu-Rom. Thank you again.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.